Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, Friday mornings at 9. Join me as we explore topics like health and wellness, prosperity, inner peace, the law of attraction, and more. Tap into good vibrations to start your weekend feeling uplifted and optimistic. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Fridays from 9 to 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Good morning. Welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today we're going to play an episode. I actually invited Alana Miles, singer Alana Miles. She won a Grammy for her song Black Velvet, if you remember that, back in the 90s. Awesome, awesome chick. And she agreed to be on Synchronicity, but she wasn't available on any of the times because she was supposed to go to Poland and do a tour and yada, yada, yada. So she ended up doing the interview on Namaste Radio, and so I recorded it there, and now I'm going to play it for you today. And if you're here in Vancouver, you may be listening on CITR 101.9 FM, or you might also be listening online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. But wherever you're listening from, if you are a local person and in Vancouver and you like anime, those Japanese comic books and art, you might want to head down to the UBC campus today at the Student Union Building. They're having their annual anime convention this year. It's called Anime Evolution 2010, and it's going on all weekend, and I think it's like $35, I think, if you want a ticket for one day. And I think if you want a 3-day pass, it's like $60 at the door. So I thought you might be interested just to see all the people in their cool costumes. There are just like lots of really enthusiastic people wearing brightly colored costumes, dressed like wizards and mad scientists and sexy anime girls. So if you want to check that out, that's going on all weekend at the UBC Student Union Building. So yeah, it looks like a lot of fun. And so I'm going to jump right into the interview in just a second. And I also believe I may have some tickets to give away on the show. I've got to find them here before I commit to that. But keep listening for the cue to call for that, because there is a strong possibility that you could be taking some free tickets home. Okay, so here is Alana Miles. And I just want to give a little disclaimer, because this is quite, I was really surprised at how she totally opened up and bared her soul in this interview. And listener discretion is advised. I don't remember if she swears or not, but there are some tough topics that she discusses. And I just want to say that her views may or may not reflect the views of people here at CITR or myself. They're not necessarily the same views that I share. So anyway, here is the lovely Alana Miles with my interview with her from Namaste Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Namaste Radio. This is a very special episode of Namaste Radio and Synchronicity Radio. I am going to be re-airing this show on Synchronicity Radio on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. So if you're listening on that station, this is a repeat show. But right now, here on Blog Talk on Namaste Radio, we are live with Alana Miles, Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter from Canada. Alana Miles is here to talk about her views on spirituality. Welcome to the show, Alana.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much for being with us. I found you on Facebook, and when I saw you and I saw some of the posts that you were making, they seemed really in line with spiritual topics, and so I thought you'd be a great guest, and I'm just thrilled that you agreed to be on the show, so thank you.
Well, it's a new territory for me to go down, because interviews that involve my what I have to talk about are more of a musical nature, and so it's kind of a new territory that I'm down this path with you talking about spirituality, but it feels very natural to me because that's really what I've been doing for the last 10 years. As if I've been making records, yes, but not at the rate that I have been growing spiritually.
Beautiful. Well, I want to talk about your spiritual growth and maybe how being in the music industry has possibly shaped and affected that. I know that people who are in the realm of the entertainment industry can take a lot of different roads, and sometimes they end up on a spiritual path at the end, or sometimes they end up on some other random path, and so I'm
or not
really
a path at all.
Pardon?
Or not a path at all. They don't complete their life.
Exactly, exactly.
I'm and off in the way. I've heard rumors in somewhere, I think Sweden. I thought she was dead.
Well, oh my goodness.
You know, thanks, but that's what they think. That's one of the expectations of a rock star. When you don't hear from them or their music for a decade, they're dead. But they just didn't hear of the death. Funny that. Oh, well.
And that's the thing is, like you said, in the music industry and even in just generally in the entertainment industry, it happens so much that people get swept up in whatever that is, the drama.
Yeah, it's really, I think, a temporary insanity or a temporary loss of focus, and propelled by substitutes, by self-medication, or whatever. Though I feel that the changes that you had requested in your question with regard to how the music industry brought about the changes in me spiritually, I think I could have been a lawyer or a stripper. Or it really could have been a lot of different types of work ethic. And I think it's all really a question of each individual and how their circumstances, particularly mine that were of a phenomenal nature. Suddenly I struggled my whole life to be recognized by people for my music, and then suddenly I was recognized by people for everything, including my sexuality. And it sort of poked at the veneer or poked at certain things inside me that needed attention. But that was my path, and I think it's not different than anyone else's story where everything happens for a reason. And as large as my the extent or the extremes of my phenomenon were as large as the need for me to repair my soul, if you will. Because I think you're only given what you need. And if you pass in this life and say, oh, I'm going to move on, then oddly enough that we're on the topic of death, a friend of mine who I respect, a spiritualist, had another friend who was in his 60s, 70s, and he was a revered doctor of spiritualism. I don't want to give any names, but he wrote a letter to all his friends saying that he was going to be out of commission for a little while. He was very sad to share the news that his friend had checked out. And I was so sad, you know, because it was I could sense his sadness. And you'll notice there's an awful lot of people going all around us. And I can step out of it myself, because I could have been one of those people that did that, definitely. My road, the weight I carry has been very, very heavy, and with one forcing me to take responsibility for my soul, because it goes beyond our physical body. And I knew 20 years ago when I was hanging out in L.A. with spiritual-styled people, people who are of that mind, and I was warned about the millennium change bringing on a wide and very extreme case of inner implosion, if you will. People were going to do either grow higher with the changing of the millennium into a Christ-like spirit of, you know, the love and sharing and betterment for each other, or they were going to fall off the map entirely by either committing suicide or taking a few people out with them when they go, or being selfish enough to take people out and, you know, run and hide behind their mistake. And I wrote a letter to my friend, and I said, I'm sorry to hear of your sad news, but thoughts of us being able to exist better in another dimension must be plaguing us all. It's time, it's that time of the millennia. Sometimes our lessons here can be overwhelming, and we no longer have the strength to endure. Your friend has relieved himself from his spiritual pressure for now, and will return to learn another new lesson in a whole new form. But I hope his memories rest here in peace. And that's really all the condolence I could give him.
Definitely. And you mentioned that that could have been your path, all of those scenarios, those scary scenarios could have been your path. And I was actually, last night, I was listening to one of your old albums with Black Velvet on it, and there was...
That would have been my first.
Yeah, was that your first album?
Yes, Black Velvet was on my first record. It all began with a bang. I didn't grow to into the status of a Grammy Award winning artist. I started out with a bang, and it's all downhill from there.
I can imagine. Sorry, go ahead.
I was exposed to the probably one of the most corrupt financial institutions in the music industry right off the bat.
And that was Warner?
No, Warner, I wouldn't put them in that catalog. I'd say Atlantic Records. And I could probably speak as freely as I can because its founder is now in his grave. He died of, he fell in the shower. Ironically, he would have lived till he was 90, I'm sure. And he was the founder of all these great musicians, and he was highly respected by most of them, well, the most that were paid. But, you know, people like Aretha Franklin had to sue them for the money that she was owed. You know, I didn't have the money to sue them, and I didn't have an American lawyer. Otherwise, my financial situation would be a whole lot different than it is. And it's not like I gave up. It's like I was forced to accept that I don't live in America. I don't have American funds to hire an American lawyer with American guarantees that I'll be able to make from them what they, you know, and it's all on paper legal anyway. It's something I don't wish to go into because it's taken up enough of my energy and places me in a role of victim, and I resent that role. I do not wish to live this life as a victim. I wish to learn from my lessons how not to be a victim.
Okay. And I don't want to focus too much on that because I can imagine it is really upsetting to bring up those memories. I'm wondering if that situation, I mean, you just exploded to superstardom, Grammy Award winner, amazing household name, it sounds like overnight, just about, your first album.
In a year and a half.
Which
yeah,
is, for the
18
music
months.
Industry, that is overnight, right?
that's ridiculously fast.
And then to have that experience, I'm wondering, was that a catalyst for growth, or did it take you a long time to wade your way through that negative experience?
Well, it was almost like all that I had placed high on my list of things to do had been accomplished in 18 months. And there was nothing else for me to accomplish. I didn't make them any higher lists. And the spiritual lists I made for myself were incomprehensible with the repair that I needed to do on my soul in order for me to be at peace with myself before I could take on any other tasks.
So that is an interview, a pre-recorded interview with Alana Miles. You're listening to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie, and it's time for a break. But before the break, I just want to put out the cue to call. We do have one pair of tickets to give away. David Wolf is going to be at Unity Vancouver on August 19th, and that is from 7 to 10 p.m. So Unity of Vancouver is at 5840 Oak Street in Vancouver, and I'll just tell you a little bit about the event. It's the Longevity Now program, and they're saying you can conquer candida, lower inflammation, restore bone health, create healthy joints, lose weight, and reverse aging with raw living foods, super herbs, and new healing technology. So if you are interested in David Wolf and you would like a free pair of tickets, please give me a call right now so I can take down your name during the break. 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. Give me a call right now. We'll be back with more Synchronicity and more Alana Miles after this.
CITR 101.9 FM is proud to support the 22nd annual Vancouver Queer Film Festival from August 12th to 22nd. It's Vancouver's second largest film festival, and every year the Queer Film Fest brings the very best in queer independent cinema from around the world to Vancouver. On top of all the great films, the festival also hosts performances, workshops, panel discussions, and parties. Be sure to check out CITR's sponsored screening of Riot Act, Flaunting Gender Deviance in Music Performance, on Tuesday, August 17th at 9:30 at Cinema Tinseltown. Don't miss the Vancouver Queer Film Festival from August 12th to 22nd. For more information, go to citr.ca or queerfilmfestival.ca.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. So today is a pre-recorded show I did with Alana Miles on Namaste Radio. She wasn't available to be live on Synchronicity, so I pre-recorded it on Namaste. It was such a thrill to interview her. And if you don't know who Alana Miles is, you might remember her from the 90s. She had that hit, Black Velvet. She's a Canadian singer-songwriter who won a Grammy for that song. And here she is. Again, listener discretion may be advised. She talks about some difficult topics, and her views may not necessarily reflect the views of this station or myself. And here she is, Alana Miles.
So it was almost as if the universe seems to have an idea of, you know, because we're part positive, part negative, and I'm still trying to get my head around that one, because I've been, educating myself. I was born to a family of spiritually uneducated people. Yes, we were Catholic, but that's religion. That's not spirituality. And there are a tremendous amount of isms in the Catholic religion, or hypocrisies, if you will, in the Catholic religion, and in any religion. And there's hypocrisy everywhere, but just the same, I needed to learn how to grow spiritually. So the power I was given by the people here on Earth, I can't say it was written in the heavens, but I can say that it is God-given. The fact that I had something in my spirit that I put out there creatively and caused the people to respond in such a powerful way, I believe that's God-given. I don't believe that comes from me. And when it happens on such a grand scale, it was almost as if I was set back in reverse. Almost instantly, I was I made bad choices with men, bad choices from the very onset with financially with my record company and how I was treated. And I did not fix them right away because I never learned how. I came into this world a victim, and I attracted to me all kinds of physical experiences that once again pitted me against the physical world with in a role of victimization. And it wasn't until I started to connect the dots and recognize, well, also the experiences I had were so damn rash. They were so out of this world rash and unlivable. Most people would have checked out a long time ago. And I'm strong and I'm determined. And if I ever, if the idea of, oh, what's the point in me continuing ever crossed my mind, it was always snuffed out with a higher thought that I believed in reincarnation and that I would return as someone who was less blessed than I am now. And I don't think my ego could handle that. So I accepted the lessons that I had in this life that were challenging because I understood that if I were to misuse God's gift of what I was born into, that and the lessons that ensued, that I would only have to come back and learn them in a much more difficult format.
So it sounds like what you're saying, Alana, is if you had chosen to end this life, your belief is that through reincarnation, because of that choice, you would have been come back in a less...
Come back as a paraplegic, as an nymphomaniac. I know that's a totally extreme and comical image, but that's my point. Because look at the blessing I've been given. Look at that, you know, I was given physical beauty, I was given stamina, strength, musical talent. That really, I think, is more a skill. I worked on it to become talented. I don't think I was born talented. I worked on it. And I surrounded myself with very, very discerning people who pushed me very hard, who said, that's not good enough, that's not good enough, that's not good enough. And I had that perfectionism in my makeup to push myself. And but then I found there was a very, after it was all said and done and the success came, I found myself to be such a control freak that I, here I am 20 years later, still wrestling with not taking control because none of us humans here on Earth have control. It's not ours. We have to, it's like everyone seems to be have to follow the same path in of learning. And we're taught not to judge because no one really knows another person's story. But yet we fight ourselves constantly, daily. There's television shows now based on judgment and other people pointing the finger at celebrities or people who we make into celebrities because of the choices that they've made with their life. They've decided to go to bed with a married man, sell his story, and get famous. They've decided to go and make a living out of this corruption. You know, it's really reaching pinnacle, epic proportions of corruption, but it's all choice. We don't have to do that. We are tempted, and as we grow, it seems all the things of the Roman Empire are presented to us. We can choose to do whatever is offered to us by this world, which has many, many different options, or we can choose to stop the options offered and go on a path that leads us more down. It leads us more into a peaceful state, which is what I chose. And it's not really conventionally chosen. when people like me have been given sudden success and sudden fame and sudden popularity with their music, they tend to allow themselves to be pushed right to the edge until they're no longer. And I think my record company, at the point where they decided to cut me off financially, it was done whimsically, and it was done because they really didn't want me around. They would never kill me. It's not like that. But they weren't going to support me living. So then it was over to me, knowing full well that that would just send me away and I would become a small voice. But that showed me, boy, I have a challenge to rise above. And in the meantime, I learned of a lot of, how do I put this? It's a delicate subject because I've not released a book, not out of fear of what I might reveal and what it might cause, but because it's not the right time, because I need to be strong and accept the consequences of what my words will shake up. If you're not strong enough to accept the consequences of what it is you're altering, then you should rest easy until you are. I was born from the DNA of positively evil forefathers in my bloodline. It therefore becomes my responsibility to seek out those who can help me in the task of rewriting my history so I can alter my path to grow spiritually in ways that I'm perhaps unable to acknowledge, but I'm grateful for the tremendous upheaval. And I've looked at every single one of the upheavals as a blessing, because it's almost like when Tina Turner was going down the path she was going with her husband, who was coked out, and he was, you know, hitting her, smacking her around. Life was just so horrible. She became a Buddhist. And finally, when she reached the end of her rope, it was when he smacked her around and bloodied her face right in the middle of a tour. Well, she said, to hell with this, and she left the tour. Well, she was responsible financially for that tour, and she had to do many, many different McDonald's hamburger conventions and corporate gigs to pay off her debts that she walked away from. But she got her freedom, and her story was then out. And there's emancipation in that. My story can't be released, so there is no emancipation publicly for me. And I remember there were times in my life when I was almost envious, wishing that I had a public story that people could see what had happened and my nose had been bloodied. But my story wasn't physically of a bloodied nature. It was internal. It was psychological. It was what I dragged from my childhood. And it's something that only I could deal with, because spirituality is a very unique course. It's really individual. It's complex as hell, and yet the lesson at the end of the big long tunnel we have to squeeze through is that it's the simple choices that we make, not the complex choices. There's all this complexity that happens. There's any number of reasons for why I'm here where I am now talking to you on this day, but the simple one is, it's time.
Beautifully said, Alana. And I'm curious, when you say that your record company, it sounded like they kind of wanted you to go away, they cut you off and so that you would be financially powerless, at least. And like you said, your voice would be smaller. Were you at that time trying to make change and rock the boat?
Oh, yes. Are you kidding? I told them, don't let Robert Plant go back with Led Zeppelin, because he's got a nice, healthy solo career, and he can kiss it goodbye. Well, what was I doing? I stood up for a very powerful, powerful person in the music industry against, I thought of somebody else's, I put someone else first instead of myself. And it was like in Spinal Tap, the movie, if you've ever seen Spinal Tap, where the girl says, oh, just put some doubly on it. Oh, just put the doubly on it. Well, she's just suddenly a girlfriend is managing somebody, a member in the band, and tells them to put some doubly on it and it'll fix everything. But she doesn't know what she's talking about.
So we are speaking, I'm playing a pre-recorded interview with singer-songwriter Alana Miles. She's Grammy-winning singer-songwriter, and she was just talking about her relationship with Robert Plant and how she kind of was blacklisted, or from her opinion is that she was blacklisted from the music industry for saying something that people didn't want to hear. So we will be back with more of this Alana Miles interview, and it is a two-part interview. We'll be continuing with it next week because I was speaking with her for about 90 minutes, I believe. So anyway, we'll be back with more Synchronicity in a few seconds.
Rude boys, don't cry, don't cry.
Rude boy, don't cry.
Scenic Drive, every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, your body, and your soul. And happy Friday the 13th. Hope you're having a good day. Someone asked me, I'm doing a shift at a volunteer organization that I work with, and they're like, oh, are you sure you want to come in on Friday the 13th? And my response was, I'm too lucky to have to worry about Friday the 13th. That doesn't even faze me. And if you're into numerology, 1 + 3 = 4. And I don't know exactly what 4 means, but I know it's not an unlucky number. So I hope you're having a fantastic Friday the 13th. It is always fun when the 13th lands on a Friday. And did you see the meteor shower last night? I went out to Spanish Banks at midnight. If you're not from Vancouver, Spanish Banks is a beautiful beach here in Vancouver. And as far as I know, it's probably the darkest place you can find within the actual city limits of Vancouver. So I went down there and I saw one shooting star. I actually, before I went down to the beach, I went out into my backyard to see if I could see anything. And I saw one bright shooting star. So I thought, okay, I'm going to the beach. And I had a better view just from standing in my backyard. So what was your experience like with the meteor shower last night? Did you go out somewhere like way far away or up on the top of a mountain? And did you get a good view? What was it like for you? Or did you totally just sleep through it because you didn't care? Let me know. 604-822-2487. So here we are continuing with our interview of Alana Miles. She is the singer. She won a Grammy for her song Black Velvet back in the 90s. But she's not really talking about her music today. She's talking about her challenges and her spiritual path that she has been on. So again, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM here in Vancouver. And this is Alana Miles.
And that's suddenly what I became in this scenario. I just became somebody who stepped in. And had I known what power I had to potentially alter someone else's history, and what potential I had to damage my own progress, I would have kept my mouth shut. But that wasn't in my makeup to do so. My boyfriend said, oh, they want me to go back with Led Zeppelin and I don't want to do it. Here's what she thinks. She's smart. Look what she did. She made a career for herself. She's a smart woman. And his manager was so put off by this personal opinion that he quoted it to the record company, and they said, we'll have none of that. And I was quickly dismissed because Led Zeppelin was a whole lot bigger than Alana Miles. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Wow.
It's the story I have not revealed, but there was far too many enemies alive that would have persecuted me. And Lord knows what might have happened if I had been like a Diana. I could relate to Diana's story. She had far too much to say about about people that were far more powerful than her in this earth, in an earthly area. I wouldn't say spiritually, but what does it matter? She's dead. And we'll never know how she got there.
So it sounds like you're saying that for your safety,
yes,
you haven't made this public until today. Well, thank you for sharing it with us today.
Yes. Until today, I was not safe to make it public. I did not feel safe. There were too many potential personally endangering elements in my life to be able to say these truths to you. And now people scratch their heads and go, huh? But it all makes sense. Why suddenly I had this huge hit and all this talent and these great songs, and suddenly I was cut off. It all makes such sense. Truth always does make sense. That's why when we can go back inside our own locked-up brains and discover something we've been hiding away and suddenly acknowledge it to our bodies, and suddenly the waves part, and we can now move forward and we go, oh, wow, it all makes sense. The trick is not to go backwards and say, oh, that's why this happened, oh, that's why that happened, oh, that's why this happened, and start to make excuses for all of the travesties you've met along the way. Those travesties have to be buried. They have to be put in their grave in order for us to move forward. We can't go, oh, and have them, continue looking over the edge of the cliff we've just, hurled ourselves over, and instead, you know, land in the soft, cushiony water below.
So, Alana, if you had a magic wand, and of course you don't, but if you did, would you go back and change things, or do you feel that kind of had to happen to put you where you are right now?
I think the latter is your answer. It's pretty obvious that had things not happened precisely the way they did, I would not feel the freedom to be able to have this conversation with you and with many, many other people today. I've learned that when there's some blocked energy inside of us and we're not allowed to accept our God-given right to be healthy and well, both mentally and physically, it's because we are accepting something, some broken wave, train wave of repetitious tape loop that goes in our head, convincing us otherwise. And until we break that tape loop and in our heart of hearts believe deep in our hearts that we are entitled to perfect health and a perfect, energy universal energy flowing through our veins, that we're going to create a stoppage. And it's going to hurt. And it's not going to stop hurting until we finally go, aha. It's generally the way. I don't believe, for example, I'm going to go one step further. Came a time 4 years ago when I had an experience that was really caustic. And I tried to reveal what was happening. In short, I got involved with people that I, on the internet, and they were involved with very dangerous people, but I didn't know all of the above. And then suddenly my computer was hacked into. Then suddenly things started happening around my life that were very, very frightening. People calling my concierge desk downstairs and saying, "Hi, I'm Alana Miles. Can you turn off the security alarm unit in my suite?" When I had been for the last 2 weeks trying to get them to make it work. And they called me and said, "Did you just call us?" "No." "Well, somebody called and said they were you." I said, "No, I didn't." And I was really upset. Things like that were going on in my life, and I tried to reveal it to my family. But my family saw me at this heightened state of trauma or hysteria or fear for my safety and presumed incorrectly that I was losing my mind and I needed to be put away. So instead of doing what a loving family would do, but because we were a family that was not raised understanding love or learning to accept love or respecting each other's individuality or, let's say, truths, if I tell you something's happening to me, hopefully you would believe me if you could sense the truth, but instead they sensed an opportunity to silence me, because I've been doing a lot of work psychologically, and I've been uncovering and uprooting a lot of family secrets, a lot of skeletons in the closet that made everyone feel just a little uncomfortable, and I was about to release a new record. And that was the threat in that would be that I might discuss these family secrets publicly, which I never would do, but that's the threat. So an opportunity arose for them to silence me. And after 3 months of working very hard to get a justice of the peace and many signatures from friends and family who had not seen me in over 2 years, were gathered together, and I was lifted from my home in my pajamas by two cop cars.
Oh my goodness.
Taken downtown and examined against my will by a hospital of doctors, and put in front of a tribunal with my family to discuss why I was there against my will. I was incarcerated.
That would have been terrifying.
It was horrible. It was the worst thing that's ever happened to me. After all this is said and done, and now this. But I'm trying to answer your question, because had this not happened, I would have gone down this road with a family where there's, you know, family inheritance involved. Money always makes people more corrupt. It's always a motivator, whether we are willing to admit it or not. And the joke is that, you know, we could all die and it'll be gone and you never see it anyway. The idea was that I was involved in a family, I grew up with a family that were not shown how to love each other in the way that is honest and true. What was done to me was not done out of love. It was done out of desperation and control. And what happened was, I spent the 72 hours that I was locked in there. They locked me in on a Friday. It was April Fool's. And then the doctor said, well, we haven't had a chance to examine you. So I said, well, I want a lawyer. And they said, well, we can get you a lawyer. I said, no, I'll get my own, thank you. He said, well, that will take another week. I said, all right. My choice was to say very collectively, very cool and calm, what would you have me do so I can get out of here and start going off and shopping my record and finishing my work? What would you have me do to get out of here as fast as possible? They said, well, all right, stay here till Wednesday and let us examine you properly on Monday, Tuesday. We'll give you, and then we'll hold a family tribunal on Wednesday and discuss all of the above in front of the family and make our assessment. Fine, then. I did that. So I stayed in voluntarily after the 72 hours in order to make peace and to give everybody a sober-headed opportunity to place their case against me. And then the next 2 days, I spent on my phone and on the telephone. I had I was buying Chicago and selling New York, calling everybody I knew to give me letters of approval that I had not ever bounced a check, that I was only 5 pounds thinner than I was a year ago. Family accused me of being having lost 35 pounds. And in a year since my last doctor's examination, I was 5 pounds lighter due to stress. And my blood was completely free of all drugs and alcohol, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. My spine was free of any obstructions. My thyroid was free. My physical condition was free of any kind of potentially threatening mindset that would make me go crazy, that might inspire my condition of sorts. And I wound up gathering together so much information in my defense that they were so impressed. They could see, it was obvious I was somebody who was a mover and a shaker. that I'm very resourceful, and when someone stands in my way, I stand up for myself and say, no, you're wrong, watch this, and I put the goods on the table. So by the time the family tribunal happened, I learned it's not what you do in this life sometimes, it's what you don't do when you have the opportunity to do the right thing and you don't do it that decides your character. So when we were all in front of the being judged by the family tribunal for, you know, what kind of relationship the family had, my brother was in China. So he never wanted this to happen in the first place. My other sister was in California where she lives with her husband, and she couldn't be there. So it was basically my mother and two sisters. But it happened to be two sisters who seemed to have an axe to grind. And I'll tell you, it was more like a 16th century witch burning than it was anything else. And they dragged things from 15 years ago, not the reason for why last week I was picked up and put in and why I was a danger to myself and others, but things that they chose to focus on from 15 years ago, 10 years ago, that were all totally, I wouldn't say fabricated. There was certainly levels of truth to them, but they were embellished severely. And when I was able to respond in a defensive manner to his heavy accusation, it came down to one of the sisters who went to great, great lengths to incarcerate me through the use of her doctor. They brought me in thinking that I was treated by this doctor and asked me if I knew his name. And I said, no, I recognize the name, but a lot of people know me.
CITR 101.9 FM is proud to present music from the Enchanted Evenings concert series at the Dr. Sun Yat-sen Classical Chinese Garden in Vancouver. On Friday, August 6th, CITR will be broadcasting a live performance by Silk Road Music from 7:30 till 9 p.m. Juno-nominated Silk Road Music blends classical Chinese music with modern rhythms. You can also tune in Mondays, 4 to 5 p.m., to hear performances recorded live at the Enchanted Evenings concert series. On Monday, July 26th, we'll feature music from multi-percussionist Ocean of Sound. On August 2nd, we'll have music from the Vancouver Piano Ensemble. And lastly, on August 9th, you'll hear a rebroadcast of Silk Road Music. Tune in to CITR 101.9 FM or head along to see these performances for yourself at the Dr. Sun Yat-sen Classical Chinese Garden in downtown Vancouver. For more information, go to citr.ca.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for being with us today. And I'm playing a pre-recorded interview I did with Alana Miles. She won a Grammy for her song Black Velvet back in the 90s. And happy Friday the 13th. Hope you're having a good day. So we're going to continue on with this interview. Up next in about 12 minutes is Ska T's Scenic Drive here on CITR 101.9 FM, and we will be playing more of this interview next week as well. We'll be continuing on with that. So I hope you're having a wonderful day, and here is more Alana Miles.
I said, well, he knows you. And it was brought up that it was my sister's shrink.
Jeez.
And he was the one that put all of this into motion. So I was garnered an apology by the chief of the hospital saying, we're sorry, we don't want you to have a bad impression of the psychiatric industry or whatever you want to call it. And, we didn't know. We were told that he was treating you or he knew you. I said, no, never met him. Never met him. But he was basically behind the collection of signatures and the two-month, you know, posse roundup from a justice of the peace in Canada to compile enough signatures to put me away against my will. So, yeah, it was really quite a wake-up call. But what it taught me was, and we were talking, you know, I've said enough. I think the listener can hear how it was a total movie. But it put me in a state of shock that most people would never survive. No, most people wouldn't get out of that. They'd either commit suicide or they'd either or become totally and utterly paranoid that they could never have this public conversation with you now. And although it's taken me some time to finally sink into my brain, I don't judge them. I do forgive them because I think that they thought they were doing the right thing. But they are to be held accountable for not coming to my aid when the doctors and I were presenting a case that was quite sober, and instead remaining in the belief that I needed to be incarcerated and out of their lives so that they could have the control over big, powerful Alana. And the doctors, when it was all said and done, asked, how did you ever get to the success level you're at when you've been raised in that kind of a family with that kind of a constant challenge? How did you ever become who you became? I said, wasn't easy. A good sense of humor. But it made me realize, all laughing aside, that I could not associate or share my views with a family who did not know how to love. So the forgiven, just stay away, stay out of my life. And I the universe has given me a big wake-up call to of who I could trust and who I could not. And a lot of the people that were involved in that, I was unable to speak to for about 4 years. Some of them I never will be able to speak to. Well, I'll never say never. I think anything is possible. But it just created such an enormous trauma in my life just before I was about to come back with a new record. But it prevented me from being able to come forward loud and proud, you know, with my fists on my chest saying, here's my great new record, because of the fear of what it would expose. So I did not get the opportunity psychologically to go out into the world and promote the record in the way it perhaps it deserved. It's not over. The record is still for sale. I still have a video coming out, and I'm gaining strength daily. But the universe really wanted me to have a severe wake-up call and to learn on a very, very intrinsic level how to protect myself and how to stand up to those that felt the need to control my everyday occurrence, my everyday state of mind.
Well, thank you for being so candid and sharing what must have been just devastating to you at the time. And
yes, it was.
Able to rise above that, and I'm so thankful that you're here sharing your story with us today. You know, we don't, as I'm sure you know, we look at celebrities, we look at people in the music industry and the Hollywood and all of that, and we just have no idea what's going on internally for them. All we see is this outward facade, and we make assumptions about people, and instantly, I mean, we all do it, no matter how spiritual.
Yes, absolutely. It doesn't matter.
Impression.
I mean, yeah, precisely. You know, we all have this impression, and we jump on it right away. And in my case, I could not have survived publicly like a Britney Spears or anybody else that we know of who has had a breakdown publicly. I could not survive that. So all of this happened. People are absolutely shocked in Canada, in my home country. They're shocked to hear of this story because they just can't understand why it wasn't out there in the tabloids. This is like, this is hot. This is newsworthy. Where were the journalists? Where were the paparazzi? But, and I would, you know, you can't hide something like this, but evidently I did. And I think that was God's gift to me because I could not handle this being public made. I could not live with my dignity and my the work I needed to do spiritually. I was still in the middle of my work. I wasn't ready to spread my wings. And the universe knew that. And so it allowed me the peace to regroup and gain the strength to be able to have this conversation today without malice, without anger, without emotion, and without blame. And that takes time. That takes 4.5 years. in my case.
Well, I'd say 4.5 years is quite a fast track to healing compared to how long it might take others. And Alana, you had mentioned, and I can see, I mean, it's evident through what you've been saying, that the love just wasn't, I'm not going to say it wasn't there, but maybe it just wasn't the healthiest love.
It wasn't, how do I put this? It wasn't true love. It was control. Mm-hmm. You don't go against someone's wishes and proclaim them. Well, hidden agendas, you know? Life may be boring for some. Maybe they wanted to have a little bit more spice. So, you know, if they became the hero who put away, who brought medicinal healing to someone great and powerful, it would bring, you know, onus or attention or heroism to them.
Well, I think I mean, like, as a child and as your family background, you had mentioned that the love, it just wasn't taught.
Oh, no, my mother didn't know how to love herself. And so she couldn't, she had all kinds of issues. And although she's a strong woman and she's a religious woman and she's still alive, she simply did not know how to love her children in a way that would teach them to love others in a whole and all-encompassing way. There was a great deal of negative energy in my ancestral line, and it reflects in the children, you know. And I really can't speak for anyone else but myself. And I made a promise to the universe that I would keep this my own story. And I get into the danger zone when I start discussing other people's responsibility in it, because we are only responsible for ourselves. So however they, have approached what their upbringing is their business, and I don't mean to encroach upon it. All I know is from my perspective, I was shown very little love, and I was shown a lot of anger and a lot of competition and a lot of negativity and a lot of violation, a lot of bordering on criminal behavior. And it was swept over. And that's, I can only speak for myself, regardless of whatever happened to the others. I can only speak for myself. But it is not an environment where it is conducive to love, or that has welcomed with open arms the idea of loving each other and caring for each other to do well.
And Alana, do you think that feeling of not having the love that you needed, I mean, that's a basic human need. Last night's show, we were talking about how it's a need for all primates. If you take away love, children do not thrive. And I'm wondering if that feeling of not having all of the love that you needed, was that part of why you sought out the fame?
To be honest with you, no. I thought that you might look at Madonna and think, well, she didn't have a mother, and it was a highly competitive family with many, many, many children, and onwards and upwards, so that she needed the love of the people for her music. But no, that wasn't it at all. That was ego. That was, I was a soul that liked, my ego likes power. And I was born with a lot of power, and I was going to have that power. And I think I'd be a liar if I were to say that I didn't seek out or yearn for the respect of others, for what I created with the help of others, with other creative people. Yes, I think that it's quite possible that my motivations were, well, if I just get millions of sales and I accomplish this phenomenon, then it will all go away and I'll be just perfect. And so, of course, when it hits you and everybody loves you and everybody wants you, it's overwhelming. And unless you're strong enough to move to the next level, like I'm very impressed with people like Beyonce and Celine Dion and very successful people, Alanis Morissette, they move forward, they move on after their phenomenon and so on. But that's their path, not mine.
So that was Alana Miles, the singer-songwriter Canadian. She won a Grammy for her song Black Velvet back in the 90s. And this was an interview I did with her on Namaste Radio. I wanted to share it with you because originally she'd agreed to do an interview on Synchronicity, but she wasn't available at the times that I was offering. So we did it another day on Namaste Radio. So I hope that you've been enjoying this interview. And I will continue on with the second portion next week. So up next is Scotty's Scenic Drive. Thanks so much for being with us today. I hope that you enjoyed the interview. I want to send my love out to you and happy Friday the 13th. Have a fabulous weekend. Bye-bye.